Hey everyone, welcome back to Contract Revolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. Today, we're going to be bringing back some of the best moments with our friend, Matt Reisinger. This man, as many of you know, is a true industry Goliath. He's the host of The Build Show, the founder of Reisinger Builds, and as a result, he's become one of the most trusted names in the entire industry. He's been on the show 4 times and has shared some truly life-changing advice, everything from like recruiting all the way to finance. So in this episode, we'll be summarizing our favorite Matt Reisinger moments from various collaborations with Breakthrough Academy over the years. Important teachings, some practical tips, and thought-provoking stories from his experience building both of his massive brands. And if you, like me, can't get enough of Matt, well, we're co-hosting another very special live webinar next week, August 19th, where you're going to learn all about how Matt has managed his time over the years to not only have this massive impact on the industry, but how he's still stayed present for his family through this whole journey. And as a bonus, we're going to give you access to some simple time management frameworks for yourself. Things that'll help you just block out some distractions and get laser focused on your goals. So before we dive into the rest of this episode, make sure you click on the link in the description and register for that before space runs out. And I can't wait to see you guys there live. Now, let's get into it with Matt Reisinger's Top Contract Revolution Moments. You're listening to Contract Revolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less.
Revenue is vanity and profit is sanity. And it really struck me that the first many years of my company, all I was trying to do was get to a bigger and bigger revenue. I got to be bigger. I got to hire people. I got to get to, you know, I got to do 2 million. I got to do 5 million. I got to get to 10 million, whatever the number was. But that number is such a vanity. It really doesn't matter. What really matters is what's your profit? And are you playing at this or are you actually running a business? And so I'm going to probably tell you a few stories from my first 10 years or so in business of lots of mistakes I made. This is my 20th year in business, but I'll be honest. I was not a very good businessman for the first 10 years of my for half of my entrepreneurial career and barely made any profit a few years in that time. So in hindsight, I honestly wish I would have met you and your team sooner, Danny.
I basically was a giant failure. Like I was on the verge of chapter 11, multiple months or years at a time in like 2009 through 12 or so. And some of that was from a spec house that I couldn't sell and ended up selling for a giant loss. I haven't talked about this a whole lot on camera before. I made a giant mistake with a client that was really an SOP mistake that we fixed. And it was a, $200,000 mistake at a time when I didn't have six extra dollars to spare. So should I do that story as the 2000? Okay. So here I am. I'd finally just sold my spec house. It's like 2012-ish. I finally sold a spec house. I cemented my $300,000 loss. My credit cards were 100% maxed. I think I had like $50,000 in credit card debt. I still owed him my truck. I hadn't paid that off. I had a rental home that around this time, the people moved out in the middle of the night. Someone smashed the back door to try and steal some boxes. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay my $1,200 mortgage payment on this without renters? And at the same time, I had a big custom going, a really nice custom, like one that per day, you've probably still seen photos of this house because it was super sexy. And it was a cost plus job. There was a bank involved. And I was putting about 5% into I can't think of the correct term. What do we call it when we have a budget for things that are unexpected? What's the word I'm looking for?
Like an allowance or a contingency budget or there's a bunch of different words for it.
But a 5% contingency budget, and that was baked into the bank budget. And I had about 150,000 of signed change orders. And the customer of mine and I were communicating pretty well during this time. And he was thinking that his change orders were coming out of the contingency budget. And I'm thinking, no, that contingency budget is for us when we make a mistake or prices are wrong or, oh my gosh, copper went up or whatever. Long story short, I did not have very good standard operating procedures. We get to the end of the job and we're like $150,000, $200,000 over budget, but I've got $150,000 in signed change orders. So I was within 5% on the job-ish. It was, as you can imagine, an expensive job. Well, long story short, the bank funds the total amount of the contract price. And I've got one last draw request for about $200,000. And the client's like, well, what do you mean you have a draw request? Like, you finished the job and I moved in. And I said, no, I told you there was another draw request. We've got all these bills coming in. This is still in budget. You know, I've got these signed change orders. And long story short, I didn't get paid on it. My lawyer said, look, it's not even worth suing him at this time. He's a lawyer. He's got all the money in the world to fight this. You know, you're going to spend $75,000, $80,000 with me to get maybe $75,000 of this $200,000 he owes you. And it was basically, it all fell down to a standard operating procedure issue in my very young business. You know, I'm in business like 7 years at this point. And, you know, here I have all this credit card debt. I just sold my spec and cemented a $300,000 loss that I had to pay back.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
And killing it.
It was awful. And, you know, in our business and for the other contractors out there, you know that we live on the margins, right? If you're, no matter what your percent is, whether you make, you know, whether you charge 20% of your job or 25% or 30% or 40%, by the time it's all said and done, you as the owner of the company, you're making a couple percent on the bottom line. And so there was no bottom line for me for not only that year, but for several years. I remember basically making negative income for a couple of years. And that was that point in my career, that 2012 point, was such a critical mistake on my part that made me realize, oh my gosh, I've got to get standard operating procedures in place.
You make all your money in pre-construction. I don't have the amount of time, but I'd basically say, look, you know, when you're interviewing for jobs, when you're talking to people, when you're in the estimating phase, you got to remember that it's vital that you get the right clients and the right projects in the door. And that if it's the wrong client and the wrong project, you don't want to do those jobs. And probably anybody who's been in business more than a year can think back on a half dozen jobs that they took because they needed the cash flow, because they had someone they didn't want to fire, because they'd hired someone and they needed a job for them. And you saw the red lights, you saw the stop signs, and you went forward with it anyways. And thinking back, you're like, gosh, I would have been better off not doing that job at all without foregoing that profit or whatever.
You know, more than once I've had people that came to me and said, Matt, you know, I got a better offer from XYZ Builder. You know, they've offered me this bump in pay. And every once in a while, I've gone up in pay, but I haven't gone past my kind of band that I'm willing to pay people at. And several times I've been like, man, you should take that opportunity. That's really fantastic. And they're like, would you pay me that? And I'm like, no, we really wouldn't. But man, I wish you the best. That's going to be fantastic. I'm excited to see where you go in the future. Two things I would say on that. Number one, I think we need to be really cautious about retaining people because of fear. And number two, I've hired several people that I knew were going to leave me. And so I said ahead of time, as long as I get X amount of years out of them, anything after that's gravy and I'm totally fine with them leaving. So I can think of two or three people I've hired over the years that said to me some version of, hey, I really want to start my own company someday, or I really want to be my own builder. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I think you're fantastic. I'd really like for you to come work here. And if you'll give me 3 years, I'm going to teach you and train you with everything I know. And then at the end of 3 years, if you feel like you want to do that, I'm going to absolutely open the door and say, you're awesome. Thank you for your great service. And I wish you the best. But in the meantime, I'm going to train you with everything I know. And I can think of at least maybe a half dozen people who have left me and gone on to start their own company or go on to some big VP of whatever role after they left me. We're still friends to this day. We still talk. And I was like, great. I love it, man. Great job.
Thanks so much for watching. I hope Matt's advice resonated as much with you as it did with me. And if you want more tips from Matt, well, make sure you don't miss out on this priority management web class that we're doing next week, August 19th. We're going to teach you how to block distractions and just get more done as an entrepreneur. Reclaim some of that time back for your family and your hobbies and your health. So register now on the link in the description. Space will fill up, so don't sleep on this, and I'll see you there.